ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। सो श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो नाइन्थ चैप्टर आंसर्स बाय साइटिंग द लॉर्ड्स वर्जन टेक्स्ट 36 वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग ऑन दिस वर्स फॉर लास्ट टू डेज। So, I hope that everybody has memorized this. Who did not memorize this verse as yet? Okay. Tumne kiya ab tak? Okay. Okay, how many of you have memorized it, let's say? Okay, Maithili? Very good. Tumi bolo?
Atarvotevo jigyasam tatto jigyasamatma annayavitire krubham jasya sarvatra sarvata.
No, they not taking. Amal Bhakta.
Idavati evo jigyasam tatta jigyasnatmana annaya vati lekarvam jakshat sarvatra sarvada.
Sarvamangala. Karani. Kanani. Shivashini. Very good. Okay. So, yesterday, so far, what did Prabhupada explain? What is the meaning of this verse? A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So, etavad means, etavad was up to this point, up to this. So up to this, etavad eva jigyasyam. Tatva jigga sunatmana. Those who are searching after the tattva jigasa. What is tattva jigasa? Tattva jigasa? Tattva jigasa here actually means knowing about the absolute truth. Absolute truth, the ultimate truth. And all truths are relative to that truth. And who is that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now what has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate spiritual understanding. Bhagavatam is giving the ultimate spiritual understanding. Bhagavatam is not only giving us some information about the spiritual sky, but what is Bhagavatam giving us? Bhagavatam is taking us beyond this material nature. What is beyond this material nature? What is right outside the Brahmanda, the universes? What is right outside the universe? Yes, very good. Viraja or Brahma Jyoti. Viraja, river, or causal ocean, and beyond causal ocean is Brahma Jyoti. Beyond Brahma Jyoti, is actually right beyond Brahma Jyoti, before Vaikuntha planet, is the abode of Lord Shiva. Shiva Loka. Where Sadashiva resides. Then beyond the Mahirdham, this has been again explained in Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita again is the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma Samhita is giving the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Goloko namni nijadhamni tale chatasya devi mahesha haridhama suteshu teshu. What is devi dham? Devi dham? This material world. And beyond devi dham is what? Devi mahesha. Beyond devi dham is mahesh dham, the abode of Lord Shiva. And then Haridham. What is Haridham? Haridham is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha stretches all the way up to Dwarka. Dwarka also is a part of Vaikuntha. And then beyond Dwarka, what is beyond Dwarka? Beyond Dwarka is Golok. Goloko namni nijadhamni tale chatasya. Below Golok are Devidham, Mahirdham, Haridham, and the topmost region of the spiritual sky is Goloko nam, Golok dham. So, in Golok, what's the speciality of Golok? The speciality of Golok, what is the difference between Golok and Vaikuntha? Who knows? What's the difference between Golok or Vaikuntha and Vaikuntha? Okay, Sadhan Siddhi.
In the abode of Golok, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he enjoying pastime. In Madhurya Rasa, and in Vaikuntha Loka, he is enjoying pastime in
Aishwarya. Okay. Very good. The general difference between Golok, what you said is right. But the general difference between Vaikuntha and Golok is, in Vaikuntha, he is God. In Golok, he is not God. He is a coward boy. If you go to Golok, Krishna won't appear to be like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There, Krishna is the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. He is the friend of the coward boys, and he is the boyfriend of all the young girls there. So that is Krishna in Vrindavan. Whereas in Vaikuntha, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the topmost region. There he is not, in Golok, Krishna is not God. Krishna is a coward boy. God ceases to become God in Golok. And that's why Golok is very much like this earth planet. In earth planet, we do not believe that Krishna is God. And in Golok, we do not recognize that Krishna is God. Therefore, Golok is described as aprakrita. Prakrita means prakrita, material. And aprakrita means non-material. Non-material has a touch of material. Whereas Vaikuntha is described as adhokshaja. There is a difference between these two regions of the spiritual sky, adhokshaja and aprakrita. In Golok Vrindavan, Krishna looks like just a human boy, human child. And that also is not a very sophisticated city boy. He is a village boy. Not very sophisticated. He doesn't go to schools. He just tends cows and plays with the cowherd boys in the forest. When he comes to Mathura, then comes the question of his going to school. And then he comes to Ujjain to study under Sandipani Muni's tutelage. And same with the cowherd girls. Cowherd girls, they're just village girls. And those who were in love with Krishna as a boyfriend and girlfriend, as their girlfriend, and they were thinking that now that Krishna has gone to city, Mathura, he is now associating with all those sophisticated city girls. That's why Krishna has forgotten us. That's how they used to think about Krishna after he left. So why Krishna did that? Why Krishna does that? Why Krishna stops to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan? Because Krishna wants to enjoy these wonderful loving exchanges. Loving exchange with friends, loving exchange with mother and father, loving exchange with the young girls as their boyfriend. Now, that is why he ceases to become God there, because these kind of relationships are not possible with God. Nobody can become God's friend. Nobody can actually properly relish the relationship as the father and mother of God, with God. So that is why it is etavad eva. Whatever Bhagavatam is giving, that is the ultimate. Etavad eva jigyasa. And annaya vatireka bhyam jatsat sarvatra sarvada. Whether we approach directly or indirectly, at all time, under all circumstances, at all time and space, this is the ultimate. So Prabhupada is explaining that Prabhupada has pointed out that this is the consideration at all time, under all circumstances. Krishna's pastimes or what has been given, whatever had been revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest. And Prabhupada is pointing out that this Atma Jigyasa is ultimately up to Bhagavat Parjanta, up to Srimad Bhagavat. Vidya Bhagavatavadhi. Our knowledge can stretch only up to Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing is beyond that. Bhagavatam is the ultimate. And Prabhupada gave some beautiful quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam also about this point. For example, from the fifth canto, Prabhupada quoted two verses. Parabhavastavod abodho jato javanna jikyasat atmatattvam javat kriyastavad idam manobai karmatmakam jana sharira bandha. As long as one is blind to inquiring after self-realization, all material activities, however great they may be, are all different kinds of defeat caused by the aim of human life is not fulfilled by such unwanted and profitless activities. The function of the human body is to attain freedom from material bondage. But as long as one is fully absorbed in material activities, his mind will be overwhelmed in the whirlpool of matter, and thus he will continue to be encaged in material bodies life after life. Then the next verse is evaṁ manah karma vaṣaṁ prayunte aviddhāyātmanna upādhi amāne prītir najāvan mai vāsudeve namuccate deha yogena tāvan. It is one's mind and that generates different kinds of bodies for suffering different kinds of material pangs. Therefore, as long as the mind is absorbed in fruitive activities, the mind is understood to be absorbed in nations, and thus one is sure to be subjected to material bondage in different bodies again and again until one develops a transcendental love for Godhead Vasudev, the Supreme Person. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada gave various quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam and also from different Purans like Skanda Puran. And then the one verse that has been quoted in Padma Puran, Skanda Puran and Linga Puran is very wonderful. Aluddha Sarva Shastrani Vicharja cha punah punaha idam ekam sunishpannam deva narayana sada. By scrutinizingly reviewing all the revealed scriptures and judging them again and again, it is now concluded that Lord Narayan is the supreme absolute truth, and thus he alone should be worshipped. So in this way we finally came to the point yesterday that when one serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service, he achieves the ultimate perfection of life. When one becomes a devotee of the Lord, then all the divine qualities become manifest in him. All the divine qualities of demigods. Jashrasti bhaktir bhagavat takinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathe nashati dhavato bahi. So hari bhakti is the ultimate perfection of life, and when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then all the divine qualities of the demigods become manifest in him. And then Prabhupada emphasized the fact that anyone can become a devotee of the Lord. To become a devotee of the Lord, there is no need for any qualification. Other Vedic considerations have the consideration of eligibility or qualification. Say, for example, unless and until one becomes a Brahmana, he cannot even touch the Vedas. That is the general understanding of the Vedas. One has to become a Brahmana to study Vedas. Now, here also we have to understand, it is not a consideration of birth, it's a consideration of qualification. Something like, unless you finish your high school, you cannot enter into the university. To enter into the university, you have to qualify. You have to pass the high school. And then, in order to enter into master's degree, master's course, you have to be a graduate. And in order to write PhD, you have to be a master. So these are the considerations for qualifications. So similarly, the Vedas are the subject of the spiritual topic, the study of the spiritual topic. So in order to come to that platform, to study this subject, one has to be qualified. And the qualification is, Brahmana means he knows the difference between matter and spirit. How can you study the spiritual subject matter if you are not able to discriminate between matter and spirit? So that is actually the qualification, that one has to become a Brahmana. Not that one has to be born in a Brahmana family. Yes, being born in a Brahmana family helps, because then one gets the proper atmosphere to study this subject. Just as it is easier for a doctor's son to become a doctor and an engineer's son to become an engineer, a carpenter's son to become a carpenter, a farmer's son to become a farmer, because he grows up in that atmosphere. Like we see in India, those craftsmen, like carpenters, goldsmith, ironsmith, then potter. So they all have, they get trained from their childhood. The carpenter's son, when he grows up, say 6, 7 years old, he just hangs out with his father. Not 7, 6, 7, 8. The son is supposed to be with the father from until the age of eight, the son is the mother's, under mother's care. But after eight, he is taken over by his father. And then what he does, when he is 8 years old, the father is doing carpentry, he is also helping the father. And this way he grows up with this, and in this environment, studying this subject. A pot maker, he is, as a boy, he is learning how to, he is seeing his father is doing it, and he also learns to do it from this early age. And this is how they learn the trade. Similarly, a Brahmana's son, what will he do? The father is doing pathan pathan, and he is also doing patan patan. Patan patan, jajan jajan, dan pratigraha. His father is studying Vedas. And he is also sitting there. And he is learning. So this is how the Vedic culture had the system of learning naturally from the parents in an appropriate environment. But now that culture is gone. Now everyone goes to school. Everybody, democracy. Everybody goes to school. And learning what? A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, then A plus B whole square is equal to A square plus B square, so forth. Ultimately it doesn't, and ultimately what is the purpose of that education? The purpose of that education is to become a Sudra. Sudra means one who works for others. Now we can see this Vedic culture, there is no taking up any job. Practically everyone was independent. The Brahmanas would not take up a job. Kshatriya would not take up a job. Kshatriya would rather die than take up a job. Vaishya would not take up a job, he'll do his business. And even the craftsmen, they also won't take up a job. They'll do their own things and sell it in the market. And that's why there is no unemployment. In the Vedic society, in Varnashram society, there is no unemployment. Everybody has some employment. Everybody has something to do. But in today's world, unless you have, like I remember some years back, unless you are a graduate, you couldn't get a job. Right? Now, unless you are a master's, you can't get a job. And then unless you are a computer expert, you cannot get a job. It's becoming harder and harder. And children, what they are doing? The poor kids, they don't have any time to play or have a natural growth. They are just absorbed with their studies, and we hear stories like children are committing suicide because they are not coming up with a proper result, which means they won't get a job. So this is how Kali is controlling everyone. You compromise with my structure, otherwise you are a misfit. And what Krishna consciousness is doing? Krishna consciousness is challenging Kali. Just wait. We will establish Varnashram and kick you out of this planet. And in Varnashram, everybody will have an occupation. A farmer's son doesn't need to go to the school and study some subjects that will not have any consequence in his life. Farmer's son knows how to farm. A carpenter's son needs to know how to do the carpentry. Similarly, a goldsmith's son needs to know how to do goldsmith job. But what is happening now? Everybody must go to school. And going to school, what they learn? Often I consider and tell the devotees also, like in just simple mathematics have so many different things, algebra, geometry, trigonometry, calculus. And what is the use of all that? I mean, I don't think, I didn't even apply the simple formula of algebra in my entire life. I mean, what is the first formula of algebra actually? A plus B whole square? Did you ever apply it in your life? When you are doing a calculation, do you make that application accordingly? And what to speak of A plus B? A plus B cube. A plus B to the power of 3 or 4 or that goes on till nth. It will never come to any use. Yes, something that comes to use is 500 plus 200 is 700 or 1000 minus 200 is 800. 100 multiplied by 10 is 1000. The plus, minus, addition and subtraction and multiplication are the only thing that comes to use. Shammohan is thinking, let's hear what Shammohan has to say. Does it come to any use? Like you take, when you take specialization, but then also specialization, what does it come to use?
For calculus, you know, you need to know, you know, when you have to calculus maximum, minimum, then you have to make a deviation.
And now you have the calculator.
Calculator also has come from the 60s.
Yeah, so let somebody invent the calculator and we'll use it. Why should we go through all this? Can a farmer figure out with the calculator? So, why does he have to go to the university to study calculus? Well, they have some use, but they don't have any applicable use, no practical use. Indirectly, you can say it can be. The basic things that are needed are, we need to know language, we need to know numbers, we need to know history to some extent, but this also is a distorted history, what goes on in the name of history. Real history is Mahabharata. And for us, the real history is the history of ISKCON. Mahabharata and then history of ISKCON. Or the lives of the great acharyas. That is what is important for us. Anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that devotional service is open to all. Although Vedic, the studies of the Vedas was limited to only a group of people. You had to be a Brahmin to study Vedas. You had to be initiated. You had to be a Dvija to study Vedas. But to be a devotee, anybody can be a devotee. Whether he is civilized or uncivilized, whether he is old or young, whether one is a man or a woman, whether one is sinful or pious, everybody can become a devotee of the Lord. So that's the point that has been established. And then, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one can serve the Lord by offering the result of one's work, one's own work. It does not matter what one does. Generally, men may say that whatever they are doing is inspired by God. But that is not all. One should actually work on behalf of God as a servant of God. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes we hear people say, "Huh, Bhagavan jo kuch karate hain, hum karte hain. What God does, I am doing. What God wants, I am doing." No. You have to become a servant of God. God is not asking you to do what you are doing. Whatever you are doing is a result of your own desire and the effect of your own karma. Krishna is not concerned about your enjoyment or suffering. That is your own creation. But when you become a servant of Krishna by surrendering to Him, by becoming a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna takes care of you. He says, "Okay, now you surrender to me, you are under my care. I will take your responsibility." Just as if somebody comes and surrenders to you, what will you do? If somebody comes to you and surrenders unto you, what will you do? Prema Bhakti?
I will do.
When somebody surrenders to you, what will you do?
I will conduct him.
Will you make arrangements for him to stay? Will you make arrangement for his prasad?
Yes.
Will you take care that he gets some nice clothes to wear?
Everything.
So if somebody surrenders unto you and you take care of his every necessity, then what to speak of the Supreme Personality of God? When one surrenders to Him, what will the Supreme Personality of Godhead do? Shaman, makes sense? So are you taking care of everybody who is serving under you? To some extent, okay. You can do it to some extent, but Krishna does it to the fullest extent. And the more you become surrendered to Krishna, you also learn to take care of your subordinates to the fullest extent. One should actually work on behalf of God as a servant of God. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Jat karosi jadasnasi jat juhasi dadasi jat jat tapasya shikonteya tat kurusha madarpanam. Do whatever you like to do, whatever you like or whatever may be easier for you to do. Eat whatever you may eat. Sacrifice whatever you can sacrifice. Give whatever you may give in charity and do whatever you may undertake in penance. But everything must be done for Krishna only. If you do business or if you accept some employment, do so on behalf of the Lord. Whatever you may eat, you may offer the same to the Lord and be assured that He will return the food after eating it Himself. He is the complete whole, and therefore whatever He may eat as offered by the devotee is accepted because the devotee's love. But again, it is returned as prasad for the devotee so that he can be happy by eating. In other words, by a servant of God, be a servant of God and live peacefully in that consciousness, ultimately returning home back to Godhead. It is said in Skanda Puran, jasya smritya cha namukta tapo yagya kriyadishu nunam sampurnatam eti saddo vande tam achyutam. I offer my obeisances unto Him, the infallible, because simply by either remembering Him or vibrating His holy name, one can attain the perfection of all penances, sacrifices or fruitive activities, and this process can be universally followed. It is enjoined in Srimad Bhagavatam, akamo sarva kamo ba moksha kamo udaradhi tibrena bhakti yogena jajeta purushan param. Though a person be full of desire or have no desire, he may follow this path of infallible bhakti yoga for complete perfection. One need not be anxious to propitiate each and every demigod and goddess, because the root of all of them is the personality of Godhead. As by pouring water on the root of the tree, one serves and enlivens all the branches and leaves, so by rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves every god and goddess without extraneous effort. The Lord is all-pervading, and therefore service unto Him is also all-pervading. This fact is corroborated in the Skanda Puran as follows. Archita deva deveshe shankha chakra gadadhare archita sarva deva sur jato sarva gato hari. When the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, who carries in His hands the conch shell, whale, club and lotus flower, is worshipped, certainly all other demigods are worshipped automatically, because Hari, the personality of Godhead, is all-pervading. Therefore, in all cases, namely nominative, objective, causative, dative, ablative, possessive and superlative, everyone is benefited by such transcendental loving service to the Lord. The man who worships the Lord The Lord Himself who is worshipped, the cause for which the Lord is worshipped, the source of supply, the place where each worship is done, etc. Everything is benefited by such an action. Even during the annihilation of the material world, the process of bhakti yoga can be applied. Kalena nashta pralayevaniyam. The Lord is worshipped by devastation because He protects the Vedas from being annihilated. He is worshipped in every millennium or yuga, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krite jadhyato Vishnum Tretayam Jajato Makhai Dwapare Paricharjayam Kalu Tadhari Kirtanad. In the Vishnu Puran it is written, Sahanis Tan Mohat Chidram Samoha Sahcha Bibhramaha Jan Muhurtam Kshanam Bapi Vasudevam Cha Chintayit. If even for a moment remembrance of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is missed, that is the greatest loss. That is the greatest illusion, and that is the greatest anomaly. The Lord can be worshipped in all stages of life. For instance, even in the wombs of their mother, Maharaj Parikshit and Maharaj Prahlad worshipped the Lord. Even in his childhood, at the age of only 5 years, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the Lord. Even in full youth, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Lord. And even at the last stage of his frustration and old age, Maharaj Dhritarashtra worshipped the Lord. Ajamil worshipped the Lord even at the point of death. And Chitraketu worshipped the Lord even in heaven and in hell. In the Narasimha Puran, it is said that as the hellish inhabitants began to chant the holy name of the Lord, they began to be elevated from hell towards heaven. Durvasa Muni has also supported this view. Mucheta Jannamni Udita Narakopi. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell became released from the hellish present, hellish persecution. So, the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, as given by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, is Etan Nirviddamananam Ichchatam Ichchatam Akuto Bhayam Yoginam Nripa Nirnitam Harer Namanu Kirtanam. O King, it is finally decided that everyone, namely those in the renounced order of life, the mystics, the enjoyers of fruitive work, should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve the desired success in their pursuits. Similarly, as indicated indirectly in various places in revealed scriptures, one, even though one is well versed in all the Vedas and scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, he is considered to be the lowest of mankind. So these are the few points that have been derived from the scriptures. So what is the first point? Even though one is well versed in the Vedic scriptures, but if he is not a devotee of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he should be considered to be the lowest of mankind. Although he may be an expert in Vedas, he may have memorized the whole Vedas, but if he is not a devotee of Krishna, he is considered to be the lowest of mankind. Then two, in Garuda Puran, Brihannaradiya Puran and Padma Puran, the same is repeated. What is the use of Vedic knowledge and penances for one who is devoid of devotional service to the Lord? Point three, What is the comparison of thousands of Prajapatis to one devotee of the Lord? Even thousands of Prajapatis do not compare to one devotee of the Lord. Four, Sukadeva Goswami said in Srimad Bhagavatam 2470 that neither the atheistic nor one who is greatly munificent nor one who is famous nor the great philosopher nor the great occultist nor anyone else can achieve the desired result without being engaged in the service of the Lord. So the point is, no matter whatever one is, unless he becomes a devotee of the Lord, he will not. Unless one is engaged in the service of the Lord, can achieve the desired result of his goal. Five, even if a place is more glorious than heaven, if there is no glorification of the Lord of Vaikuntha or his pure devotee, it should at once be quitted. One should leave that place immediately. Six, the pure devotee refuses to accept all the five different types of liberation in order to be engaged in the service of the Lord. A pure devotee refuses to accept all the five different types of liberations for the sake of being engaged in the service of the Lord. The final conclusion, therefore, is that the glories of the Lord must be always and everywhere proclaimed. One should hear about his glories, and one should chant about his glories, and one should always remember his glories, because that is the highest perfectional stage of life. As far as fruitive work is concerned, it is limited to an enjoyable body. As far as yoga is concerned, it is limited to be acquired of mystic power. It is limited to the acquirement of mystic power. As far as empiric philosophy is concerned, it is limited to the attainment of transcendental knowledge. And as far as transcendental knowledge is concerned, it is limited to attainment of salvation. Even if they are adopted, there is every chance of discrepancies in discharging the particular type of functions. But adaptation of the transcendental devotional service of the Lord has no limit, nor is there fear of falling down. The process automatically reaches the final stage by the grace of the Lord. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, there is an apparent requisite for knowledge. But in the higher stage, there is no necessity of such knowledge. The best and guaranteed path of progress is therefore engagement in bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. The cream of Srimad Bhagavatam in the foregoing four shlokas is sometimes squeezed out by the impersonalists for different interpretations in their favor, but it should be carefully noted that the four shlokas were first described by the personality of Godhead himself. And thus the impersonalist has no scope to enter into them because he has no conception of the personality of Godhead. Therefore the impersonalist may squeeze out any interpretation from them, but such interpretations will never be accepted by those who are taught in the disciplic succession from Brahma, as will be cleared up in the following verses. Besides that, the Shruti confirms that the Supreme Truth, Absolute Personality of Godhead, never reveals himself to anyone who is falsely proud of his academic knowledge. The Shruti mantra clearly says, in from Kathopanishad, Nayamatma prabhachanena labhyo, na medhayana bohuna shrutena, jam evaisha brinute tena labhyas, tashaisha atma vibrinute tanam sham. The whole matter is explained by the Lord himself, and one who has no approach to the Lord in his personal feature can rarely understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, without being taught by the Bhagavatas in the disciplic succession. So, this way we covered the four verses of the Chatushloki from the second canto, ninth chapter. Answers by citing the Lord's version. So how many of you memorized all the four verses? Very good. How many of understood the meaning of these four verses? Okay, very good. Now meditate on these four verses, right? Because this is the root of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you know the root, then the tree is known. You will see, if you meditate, if you properly understand these four verses, Srimad Bhagavatam, the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam will become clear. Bhagavatam is not just some stories. People like to hear stories. Stories of Prahlad Maharaj, stories of Dhruva Maharaj. They're nice stories. Story of Puranjan, story of Chitraketu, story of Britrasura, and then finally stories of Krishna in Vrindavan. So what is the real purport of these stories? What is the real purpose of these stories? We'll understand when we understand these four verses. Then behind all the stories, who will we see? In Bhagavatam, who is behind all these descriptions, all the stories? Krishna. And who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The one who has created everything, the one who is maintaining everything. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is so great that from the pores of His body, like we have the pores in our bodies, the hair in the body is coming from a pore. So from the pores of His body, the universes are generated. Can you imagine how great He is? That is how great He is. And although He is so great, He is present in the temple. We can anytime go and see Him. He is so great, although He is so great, He is there in our hearts. Although He is so great, He is everywhere. And if I surrender unto Him, my life will become successful. And in order to surrender, what qualification do we need? What is the qualification to surrender unto Him? If we want a job as somebody's servant, then we need qualification. Like a big man running a big company, he is going to appoint some servants. And so many people are just applying. Humko nokri de dijiye. Isn't it? But what is he saying? What is your qualification? Oh, you simply did high school. No good. You are a graduate. No good. Oh, you are an engineer. We can consider. You are a doctor. Yes, we can consider. Okay. Line mein khada ho jao, dekhenge. Right? Here, even an ordinary person, it's so difficult to become His servant. We need so many qualifications to be the servant of an ordinary person. But to become the servant of the Supreme Person, what do we need? What qualification do we need? Huh? Yeah, we simply have to surrender. I am surrendering unto You. That's my qualification. He'll say, very good. Why? It's so easy. To become His servant? Because we are His children. The only problem is that we are his naughty children. That's why we ran away from him. And although we ran away from him, he is running after us. Come back, come back. We said, no, we don't want to go back to you. And he's waiting. We are going to different places. We are suffering in so many ways. But still we don't want to surrender to him. We are suffering. We are calling everybody. We are calling our friends in the material nature, father and mother in the material nature. We are calling the lawyers, we are calling the doctors, we are calling the politicians. Please save us from this difficulty. But can they save us from all these difficulties? No. They don't save us from the difficulties. They simply want to take our money. We get some fever, we go to a doctor. The doctor's first consideration is, do you have the money to pay my fees? Oh, you can't pay the fees? No. Get out of here. We're going to a lawyer, we're in a difficult case, we're in a difficult legal situation. We go to a lawyer, what the lawyer says? Paisa lao? Toh, mera service milega. So everybody in this material nature is trying to extract something from us, and still we are depending upon them. But the person who can actually save us from all difficulties, we don't want to surrender to him. And he's waiting. Why don't you? Why are you going through all these difficulties? Why not surrender to me? And someday when, out of acute distress, when you surrender unto him, then he says, okay, come back to me. I will take care of you. There is no need for you to depend upon anybody else. Just, I'll be there to take care of you. That is how magnanimous he is. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hari Om. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Shankar. What's that? When they came to study here? Yeah. What happened to them? Well, they were crying for Krishna. And that's the ultimate goal of life, to cry for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Why did Krishna go away? Right? All this while, Krishna is crying for us. My children, when you come back, when you will come back, Krishna is crying. But now it's our turn to cry for Krishna. Alright? Malini? Okay. Adhokshaja, Vaikuntha is described as Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means Adho Akshaja. Adhokrita Akshaja. Akshaja, Aksha means senses. Ja means produced. What is produced out of senses? What is produced out of our senses? This material nature. So material nature is akshaja. Adha means keeping that below. So that means transcending the material nature. When we, where do we come? Adhokshaja, we come to Vaikuntha. Right? And there Vishnu Narayan is present, who is not perceivable by our senses, material senses, but he is perceivable by our spiritual senses. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present there. But beyond that region of Adhokshaja is Aprakrita. Aprakrita means it is completely opposite to Prakrita. Prakrita is material and diametrically opposed to material. See, the opposite, what is opposite, appears to be alike. Like, for example, sunrise and sunset. They're completely opposite, right? But don't they look alike? Similarly, this material nature, the earth planet, the affairs of the earth planet, the affairs of the human beings, appears to be very much like, or rather, the topmost region of the spiritual sky, Aprakrita region, Vrindavan, appears to be very much like this, affairs of the human beings on the earth planet. But it is diametrically opposed. Clear? Okay, thank you. पांच प्रकार की मुक्ति है साजुज्य सारूप्य सामिप्य सालक्य और शाष्टी. साजुज्य मुक्ति जो है, साजुज्य मुक्ति में ब्रह्म में लीन हो जाता है, ब्रह्म ज्योति में लीन हो जाने को साजुज्य मुक्ति कहा जाता है. सारूप्य का मतलब है भगवान का जैसा रूप प्राप्ति होना. सामिप्य का मतलब है भगवान के नजदीक रहना, भगवान के नजदीक रहने का मौका प्राप्ति होना. सालक्य भगवान जिस स्थान में विराज करते हैं उस लोक में स्थान प्राप्ति होना. और शाष्टी भगवान के जैसे वैभव है, शक्ति है, वैसी ही वैभव प्राप्त होना. तो ये पांच प्रकार की मुक्ति है. बल्कि भक्त क्या चाहते हैं? भक्त मुक्ति चाहते हैं? नहीं, भक्त केवल भगवान को सेवा चाहते हैं. ये सेवा बिना मुक्ति भक्त नहीं चाहता. भक्त का मनोभाव है ये मुक्ति लेके मैं क्या करूंगा, अगर भगवान का सेवा नहीं है तो ये मुक्ति का, मुक्ति से क्या फायदा है. और नहीं तो भगवान का सेवा जब मिल रहा है तो इस मुक्ति का क्या जरूरत है. हरे कृष्णा गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि. श्रील प्रभुपाद की.